We begin this morning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, a true-false question. True or false, all birds have wings? False, okay. Somebody mustn't. I know there is at least one bird called a moa that doesn't have wings, but maybe there are others. Another one, all cats purr. No. We're very wary when we use the word all, aren't we? Here's some harder ones. All Republicans are against gun control. All Democrats support abortion. I'm reading a book called The Big Sort, and it's one theory of why we are so polarized in our country. And the theory is that we have sorted ourselves into like-minded groups, and we only listen to the sources of news that we agree with. And so they did, and one of the repercussions, which is interesting, is that we believe our opponents are more extreme than they really are. They did a survey of a group of Republicans and Democrats, and the Democrats believed the Republicans were more conservative than the Republicans even felt they were. And the Republicans believed the Democrats were more liberal than they believed themselves to be. But they never found out their mistakes because they didn't listen to each other. In today's gospel, there's a group of people. Jesus calls them the wise and intelligent people, probably a lot of religious leaders and other people. And they condemned both John the Baptist and Jesus because they believed they knew these men. They condemned John for his strict lifestyle and Jesus for his more open lifestyle, because they weren't listening to them, because their minds were shut, because they believed they knew the truth. They did not see God working through John the Baptist. They did not see God in the flesh in Jesus of Nazareth. And since they had shut God out, Jesus said, then God turned not to the wise and intelligent ones, but to infants. Now, I don't need to tell the young parents this, and those of us who are grandparents might need to be reminded, and we were reminded last week when we spent a lot of time with our grandkids. Our youngest one just started to really talk, but before that, he had spent months of mostly listening. But, you know, it took all those months of listening so that he could learn to talk. And so when Jesus says that God gives the truth to infants, he's talking about people who are like children, who know they are dependent, who are listening, who are open to the voice of God. And hopefully we are those people. So then Jesus says to us, come to me. He says, I know that you are weary and that you are carrying heavy burdens. And you know, at first it might seem this doesn't fit us. But as good as our lives are, they can seem burdensome. They can seem very rote. We get up in the morning, we have a checklist of things we do. We go to work or we stay home, we work in the yard, we go to doctor's appointments, we take the children to their classes, we spend hours in the car, we make lunches for children, we do dishes. It can begin to seem very wearisome. And we do carry burdens. Not only our own, but those of our loved ones, the things they're going through, the hurts, the challenges. And then we can't open a newspaper, turn the TV on, look at our screens, or listen to the radio without feeling the burdens of the world. A world where there's war, a world where there are refugees, a world where there is starvation. Jesus says, in all of this, come to me and I will give you rest. Now, the rest he's offering is not doing nothing. But think of the seventh day of creation. God created a perfect world, and everyone was in harmony with God and with one another. And then God rested on the seventh day. Jesus is inviting us to come to him to help change the burdens in our lives, to come to him to help recreate the world, to be a place of justice and peace so we can really rest. A story about this kind of rest was shared with Keith and me, when we were with our daughter and her family at Grunewald Guild for a week. Grunewald Guild is a community of Christian artists. It's set in the Cascade Mountains in the state of Washington. It was started by a husband and wife who are Lutheran. And one of the artists who was there that week shared a story with all of us. I'll call him Mark. Mark is a Roman Catholic brother, which, if you had to look it up like I did, means that he is not ordained, but he has taken vows. And he's actually an art teacher in Philadelphia. Well, not being, or well, having taken vows, he's not married, and I think maybe for that reason he is very close, was very close to his mother all his life. Well, Mark heard about Grunewald Guild, a place where art and faith come together, and he was excited to experience it. So all winter long, he was looking forward to coming there in the summer. But then his mother contracted leukemia, and Mark was devastated. And as the spring wore on and it got closer to summer, he did not want to leave her. But she insisted, knowing how important it was to him. So he got on a bus and went across the country. He came to Grunewald Guild, and it was a little more rustic at that time, and he was not at ease. He wanted to be back home. But he stayed for a while, and then he got a message that his mother was close to death. Well, the community surrounded him. They supported him. The director got up in the middle of the night and drove many hours to take him to a place where he could catch a plane and fly home. And Mark was able to be with his mother when she died. The next summer, he remembered the care he had received at Grunewald, and he came back. But this time, he came back with a broken heart. He still so missed his mother. He tried to deal with his grief when he was there. He said there was a big meadow out next to the buildings, and he went out there one night and he paced back and forth and back and forth, trying to come to grips with his grief, trying to deal with it. But nothing was working. One day, the woman who was the co-director said, "Mark, come and take a walk with me." And as they walked, she said, "You know, we have four grown children. We also had another child, a little boy. And when he was 6 months old, he died. And when my son died, I wanted to die," she said. "I said to myself, I will never laugh again. I will never dance again." And she said, "And not a day goes by when I don't think about our son who died. I wonder what he would look like now. I wonder if he would have a family, what he would be doing. I think about him every day. But I do laugh, and I do dance." Mark heard her words, but his heart remained broken. The third summer, Mark came back to Grunewald, and he threw himself into the first project. He's a painter, so he was doing a still life. And he said, "I remember I was painting this bowl of potatoes and onions." And he said, "I was spending hours painstakingly reproducing it." And the man who was the co-director came by and said, "Mark, that's a beautiful picture, but I have never seen you so tight." And Mark thought about his words. And that night, Mark went out to the same field where he had paced and paced the year before, trying to deal with his grief. Only this time, he didn't move. He just stood. And he stood. And finally, the tears came. And he cried. And he cried for his own loss. He cried for other losses besides his mother. He cried for the hardships of his family and friends. He cried for the injustices and pain of the world. In that moment, he let God in. He admitted that he could not heal his grief on his own. And he handed over his burden and his grief to God. In that moment, he found real rest. Jesus says to us, "Come to me, all you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light," because he teaches us that we don't have to be in control. We don't have to have all the answers. We don't have to be perfect. We simply admit to God that we need God, And then we look over and see that the one sharing our yoke, the one sharing our burdens, is the one who bore the cross for us, Jesus Christ, who freed us to be loved and to love his world into justice and peace. Amen.